Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today I am stoked for today's episode. So I just have to share this. This is one of my really good friends, Paul Salter, that's going to be sharing nutrition, meal planning, all of these things that we know we need to do, but can also save us a crap ton of money. So that's what we're going to chat about today. And initially, I was planning on releasing this episode in about March-ish, mid-March, but I had to move it up sooner. So you guys know, I think I've mentioned it before, I'm going to Costa Rica in May, and I recently booked a trip to Santorini, Greece in March. So I am like working on my bikini bod big time right now. So I've been hitting the gym hard again. I've been very, very careful and meticulous about what I eat. So I'm trying to pay attention to this stuff. And I don't think I'm alone. I think we're all kind of like getting to the point where we're starting to think about our summer bods and all of that stuff. So I thought this was probably a pretty timely and helpful episode to launch now. That's what we're going to be chatting about today. So I'm really excited to share with you all of the interesting information that Paul has given us. It's going to really rock your world. I'm excited to share that. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the really cool money wins that you guys have been getting. This is my favorite segment of the show because I love seeing all of your progress. And honestly, if you're trying to pay off debt or build up a savings account or whatever the heck you're trying to do financially, this stuff is amazing. It's really great to see that you're not alone and people are still kicking butt with their financial goals. So our first money win comes from Claire Kirby. She says, I got one of my medical bills paid off yesterday. Now I have four more to go, about $2,800 total left. Hashtag money win. Claire, congratulations. That is so awesome. And medical bills are one of those things that it's kind of a necessary evil for a lot of people. You can't have any control over that, which is a bummer. But I'm very, very proud of you for paying off the first of your medical bills. Congrats on that. Our next money win is from Brittany Fleming. Brittany says, I paid off my first small credit card. Now on to the next one with an extra $100 a month available to pay on it. Hashtag money win. This is cool. So what Brittany's talking about here is actually very powerful. So if you guys have not been paying off debt this way, make sure you start doing it. So what Brittany's doing is she's paying off the smallest debt first and then taking that monthly payment that she was paying towards the smallest and grouping it onto the next payment, the next smallest debt. So that's what we call a debt snowball. Huge. It's amazing because it really focuses on the psychology behind paying off debt. So it helps you get small wins, get you excited about your plan, and you can really start seeing some serious progress really quickly. So congrats, Brittany and Claire. I am so proud of both of you. That's incredible. If you personally want to share your money win and have me publicly shout it out on the podcast to everybody in the world, make sure you tag me on Twitter, on Instagram, or in the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss, which I would love to have you join. And be sure that you're using hashtag money win for the shout out and recognition that you deserve. All right, guys, let's dive into today's guest. So today's guest is going to bring us a different perspective. I know we kind of chatted about he's going to share meal planning, grocery budgeting, all of this stuff in the episode. But Paul is the founder of the Nutrition Tactician. He's a licensed dietitian. He's worked with collegiate, professional, and even Olympic athletes. He's coached well over 600 people and helps them achieve their health goals, which is really awesome. He was the nutrition editor for the largest online supplement retailer, bodybuilding.com, but he recently quit that job to focus on his business full time. So he's got his bachelor's in dietetics, his master's in exercise and nutrition sciences. He's a licensed and registered dietitian. So this is all just a fancy way of saying Paul really doesn't know his shit. He's got it together when it comes to nutrition. In this episode, we talk about his journey to finding his dream job, not once, but actually twice. How his side hustle working with individuals started making him more money than his day job. The difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist, I actually had no idea that there was a difference there. So it was good to hear that. How to save money while you're grocery shopping. We talk about meal prepping and exactly how he does this kind of stuff. And he even shares what I think is one of the most valuable pieces of advice throughout this entire episode, the secret to curbing cravings. And just to remember, everything that we mentioned in this episode will all be linked in the show notes. But I have to say, I speak from firsthand experience here. If you're trying to figure out how the heck to get your health goals in line and you want to prioritize eating healthy and getting your nutrition in check, check out Paul's courses. It's all linked in the show notes. So it's all linked in the show notes. But his courses and his educational materials are amazing. If you can't really afford much, you're going to love this because his courses, a lot of them are $29. They're like freaking, he's giving them away. And he also has some really great ebooks too. So make sure you go check it all out at thenutritiontactician.com. Without further ado, I am so excited to introduce you guys to my friend, Paul Salter from nutritiontactician.com. Hey guys, thanks so much for joining in for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Today I am joined by one of my good friends, Paul Salter. Paul has such an interesting story about making a transition into full-time entrepreneurship very recently, actually, in the nutrition industry. So he teaches people how to get their shit together with their meal planning and eat healthy. And we're going to talk about all of that stuff, but I want to give Paul a chance to just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how did you get into this industry?
Whew, man, I could talk about this for hours, but I'll try to give you the short and sweet. The main thing I'm trying to accomplish while I'm here on Earth is giving people the information and the tools they need to eat healthily and confidently. And from a young age, I recognized this. So one day I was like, okay, I'm going to be a personal trainer. I'm tired of helping all my buddies with their workouts. If I can make a little money doing this, win-win situation. Well, it turns out in every personal trainer book, there's a chapter on nutrition. And maybe 10 pages of the 300-page textbook talked about nutrition, but it was enough to give me that aha moment to connect the dots that, hey, exercise and nutrition kind of go hand in hand, and I was just fascinated with that. So long story short, I went into my college as undecided and transitioned to a dietetics major about 3 days later after reading that chapter. Pretty cool there. And I had no idea what a dietitian did. I just knew that I wanted to help people eat better. And if I could do with athletes, that would be pretty freaking sweet. Come to find out, there's a thing called a sports dietitian. So that was like breaking news for me. So pursued talking to as many people as I could, my counselors, my advisors, and learned that I could work with athletes. Sweet. Long story short, I just started putting my name out there. I found this big listserv called the Collegiate Professional Sports Dietitians Association. Just said, hey, I'm Paul. Here's my resume. Does anyone want to volunteer? Someone who lived about 90 minutes away from me said, yeah, George Mason University. So I said, sweet, I'll be there. So long story short, I just started volunteering my time. And I drove, 3 hours every week to volunteer for 5 hours. And it was just making connections and learning from these people who had actually worked with these great athletes on how to fine-tune their nutrition. Jump ahead a couple years, and I had various internship opportunities, which were unpaid, and I volunteered for. And I became a sports dietitian. I was fully employed after completing my dietetic internship, and I thought I had the dream job. I was working at this Olympic training center, and I got to work with professional collegiate Olympic athletes, but something wasn't quite there for me yet. I enjoyed it, but not quite enough, and I noticed something was missing. And as I reflect back, it was that during my dietetic internship, which is the fancy thing you have to do to become a registered dietitian, I actually started my own business, own online nutrition and training coaching. And believe it or not, this was actually the second business I had already started in my lifetime. And it did okay. It paid the bills for the dietetic internship. But I loved that that one-on-one interaction I got with people and the personal connections I got to make. Whereas at my job at the training facility is I didn't have as much one-on-one time. It was a lot of group discussion, which I enjoyed, but not as much personal connection. And when I started that job, I actually had to dissolve my business. That was one of the requirements of working there, which – at the time, I was like, oh, no, this is opening so many doors for me. I don't need this side business. I'm going to do great here. Well, a year later, another what I thought dream job came knocking. So the company bodybuilding.com. I had discovered, I can remember to this day, as weird as this is, October 27, 2010. First time I was ever on their website. I know, weird. And it kind of – that was one of the kick in the pants I needed to really pursue the relationship between nutrition and the body. How does it operate? So I started testing all these things I was reading on myself, competed a couple bodybuilding competitions, and they offered me a job. And I was like, oh my goodness, kind of starstruck, like you don't get this opportunity. So I moved from Florida, right, 10 minutes from the beach, wonderful, to Boise, Idaho for this job. My now fiance at the time and I had only been dating a couple months, and I pretty much told her I was not going to let this opportunity pass, and I hope that she will try to follow me. And long story short, she did, and it worked out, but I was gung-ho about this job. Ironically, at the same time, I had just started consulting again, very slowly and casually, and because I just missed that personal connection. And so this all happened about 16 months ago. So I started consulting. A month later, I started full-time at bodybuilding.com. Well, I guess fortunately and unfortunately, my consulting grew like wildfire. And I remember joking with the owner of the company I consult for, where I get clients passed to me. He asked me how many I could take on, and I said maybe 6 to 10. I'll just leave it that I'm well over triple digits right now. And we have both exceeded our initial expectations. So the side hustle game was very strong when I was working full time at a job I thought was my dream job, and then going home and working another 6 or 7 hours consulting and emailing with all these clients. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I realized I love being able to write, as I was the nutrition editor at bodybuild.com. I did a lot of writing, a little bit of editing, but I still missed that personal connection. And I felt I could better influence people's nutrition habits with that personal connection. Anyone can read an article. Anyone can have information thrown in their face. But if they don't have the tools to actually implement it, the support, the encouragement, nothing takes place. And, you know, it's been a continuous grind, like, literally since I started bodybuilding.com, as the one-on-ones just continue to grow. And, you know, I started a cool program called Venture College at Boise State, which was, you know, their main philosophy is take your idea and run with it. And I was encouraged by a fellow bodybuilding.com coworker who ironically did the program and left bodybuilding.com full time to do his own thing as well, just to check it out. So I went there and I pretty much drew a bunch of circles and squiggly lines on a whiteboard during an interview and said, this is what I want to do, but I don't really know how to get there and I need some help. So I think they realized I was really excited about what I wanted to do.
To say the least.
But I didn't know how to do it. And I told them my goal is to help more people eat healthily and confidently. I consult with a ton of people. I like to write. I like to eat. And I started doing all these videos. And I went through this course and really kind of got knocked back down to square one and was like, you think you know so many things about, you know, your audience per se. So like I mentioned, I worked with over 100 people and I had a rough idea of who I was working with in terms of demographics and goals. But this program, Venture College, really challenged me to get to know them and to make sure the product or service I was going to offer, you know, gave them the value they were actually seeking. Because if I had a cool product, I had to find people who were actually interested and were going to benefit from it. So, you know, lo and behold, I guess 4 months into the program, I decided that I had a really firm grasp on what I wanted to do with my business. I had been doing weekly video content for a long time with great success, and I decided I wanted to package that up into a sweet deal to help more people with more detail. And I finally got the kick in the pants I needed to leave this, what I thought to be, again, dream job number two at the most prestigious nutrition and supplement company in the world, because I just love working with people and giving them the tools with that immediate feedback. And here I am.
And here you are. Okay, so you touched on a few things that I really do want to dive into.
Yeah.
The first thing is, okay, so you talked about you went into nutrition and or studying to be a dietitian in college. Okay,
yep.
Question one, is there a difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist?
Yeah, nutritionist. Whitney, you can call yourself a nutritionist.
Oh, no kidding?
Seriously, put it on the resume. Looks good.
Oh, my God.
Literally anybody can call themselves a nutritionist. There's no legal jurisdiction. A dietitian, on the other hand, has to get an accredited degree that meets X, Y, and Z requirements and then be matched to an official what's called a dietetic internship, which includes over 1,200 hours of supervised practice of counseling, communication in the hospital, in the food service industry, community nutrition, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And then you have to sit for a board certification.
Jeez.
Yeah, I
had no idea about that. That's really interesting. So food for thought, everybody. If you see someone claiming to be a nutritionist but not a dietitian, maybe a little bit of a red flag. Pay attention to that.
With the advent of the internet, you know, you have some smart people out there that do their homework. However, the one biggest advantage I think I have with going through the internship is counseling and communication skills. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, be able to break down that science-y nonsense and foreign-looking words and molecules into, hey, eat this, not that, or try this. It's an art, and it takes practice, and it takes practice and practice.
So where do you think, okay, so for the average person that you've worked with, you have worked with over 100 people by far. So where do people mess up with nutrition? Like, what is this? What's the problem? Why can't we just eat what we're supposed to eat and make it work? What's going on there?
So a lot of people think we have a weight loss problem in the United States for that obesity epidemic, but I would disagree and I would counter that with it's not a weight loss problem, it's a weight maintenance problem. Mm-hmm. Losing weight is relatively easy. You start eating a little less, you move a little more, the weight comes off. But can you sustain that 3, 6, 12 weeks, months down the road? That's a different story. So the problem people have is, you know, latching on to short-term unsustainable habits. And they love that the weight comes off really fast, but at the expense of, you know, 12 hours a week in the gym and eating nothing but, you know, peas and carrots all day, it just isn't sustainable. So not taking a sustainable approach is by far the biggest mistake.
That makes sense. And I know you're a big fan of this whole concept that diets don't work. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us why a diet doesn't actually work?
Absolutely. And it builds off what I just said in that, you know, people, they think diet, first of all, has this negative connotation with, you know, diets are the worst. We have to eat nothing but chicken and broccoli 6 times a day for 12 weeks. But if we do it, we'll look great and everything will take care of itself. Again, the problem is, you know, when you do that, you deprive yourself of X, Y, and Z, and you have that massive craving, which eventually you're going to succumb to it. Been there many a times. It happens. Yeah. We're all human. The problem is when you diet harshly for, you know, 6, 8, 12 weeks, your body's really cool and it adapts to that. So it tries to conserve as much energy as it can and it slows down your metabolism. Problem is when you go through that binge weekend or week, you put in a ton of excess calories that your body can't handle. So as a result, it just stores it because it's like, hey, I was stressed during that diet. I want to store this energy because I know I might not have it again for a while. The result of that is rapid weight gain. Then people want to cut their calories again, but they're already accustomed to eating so few because the metabolism hasn't caught up. It's a vicious cycle, and that's where the yo-yo behavior begins. So my approach is always give people the information and tools they need to make healthy decisions and to do so confidently so they don't feel anxious about food or eating at social occasions. And then on their own terms, they can commit to X amount of time to gradually reducing portions in a sustainable way and then slowly increasing portions again while maintaining that new weight loss.
I think that you're spot on. And that's actually, I know we both have had the competitions in common where we train and you are purposely putting your body through ridiculous amounts of stress so that you look a certain way. Not sustainable, tons of fun. It's actually really awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I noticed when I was going through this whole journey of paying off debt and losing weight at that time before competition stuff is I noticed that the same discipline that it took for me to get my butt to the gym was the exact same discipline it took for me to stick to a budget. And so I'm kind of curious, This is more of like a personal thing. Have you noticed any more parallels there between fitness and finance?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all revolves around discipline and discipline building off of the ability to visualize your end product or your goal. So, you know, when it comes to the fitness and health realm, it's like, oh, we're visualizing that six pack or that, you know, those biceps, that ripped end physique. Whereas in the financial world, you know, we're visualizing either paying off that debt or saving for that car, that house, that vacation. So I think what the fitness realm has taught me is to set realistic goals and to constantly revisit them. Whereas you translate that to the financial realm is, you know, I took out two student loans to pay for my education. That was an undergrad, a master's, and a dietetic internship. And, you know, I knew my monthly payments and I had to kind of lay it, have a roadmap, just as if you're dieting for a show, you know, shows in 20 weeks. You're not going to start dieting at week 19. You're going to start at week 20 or give or take. So, you know, being able to visualize those short-term goals and how that works to your big picture, I mean, it's applicable to so many facets of your life, but those two ring very true to me because I've, you know, they're relatable.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. It's just being able to visualize that end result, get very, very clear on what it is you're aiming towards. And that's where you start to find the results. But the results are only, I mean, that's great to visualize, right? And I think we both know that visualization's awesome. But if you don't have a plan to back that up, you're not going to get very far very fast. So let's talk a little bit about some of the content, because I know I've seen your stuff. It's really awesome. You do a great job of educating you. People in a very entertaining way. Always fun. I get a kick out of it. I think it's great. So how can people start to learn more about nutrition first? Like, what kinds of resources, especially keeping in mind that we're balling on a budget here? So yeah, where can people go to learn a little bit about some of your stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have started an online nutrition university, if you will, and I call it TNT University. TNT, people are like, what the heck is TNT? You're blowing me up? No, no.
Dynamite. It's,
I know, right? You need to add the AC/DC song.
I should.
No, so TNT stands for the Nutrition Tactician, and that is my personal brand, which I've used as an education and empowerment brand to help deliver that content I discussed. And TNT University offers bite-sized nutrition videos all about one topic. So for example, I have a course entitled Carbohydrate Confidence. It's literally everything you need to know about carbohydrates, 18 videos, they're 2 to 4 minutes each. So someone can bite off a video or two at a time or the whole thing to really learn the fundamental concepts about a variety of nutrition topics. And you can find that by just going to courses.nutritiontactician.com. And that's what I feel is to be an excellent starting point, because that's just the problem. You know, if you have someone who wants to learn about nutrition, you go to Google, you type in, you know, what are good carbohydrates? And sure, you have a million hits of content at your fingertips, but where do you start and who do you trust and what's realistic? It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the fuel that helped me go further with this was, hey, give people what they need to know, make sure it's research back, but most importantly, make sure it's practical. And, you know, you can watch a video and be like, oh, I can implement A, B, and C of what he said. Sweet. I just improved my day or my health in some little increment. So I recommend starting there.
Awesome. Okay. So I think that's great. If you guys are trying to see what the heck was that website that he mentioned, it's going to be linked in the show notes on themoneynerds.com. So don't sweat it. It's all linked in there. But I wanted to start there. So I wanted people to understand that we're talking about a couple different things here. We're talking about a guy who was able to quit his full-time job because his side hustle, his little part-time thing, was making him more money than his day job. And it got to the point where it was a time value thing and your ROI is just better in your side hustle. So that alone is pretty dang incredible. And I know we could totally chat about that for like all day long and geek out on lead magnets and read magnets and all these different things. So much to learn. And so now everybody knows where to go to get a little information about your courses, your ebooks, your nutrition nuggets, all of that stuff. So with that being put aside now, we're going to assume that everybody has a basic understanding of nutrition at this point. So let's start getting into some of the details of how do people start implementing this kind of stuff on a budget so it's not breaking the bank every month?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back, what I think has been a little bit of an underlying theme is having a plan. One of the biggest mistakes people make is they go to the grocery store, I'm going to eat healthy, and then they're starstruck when they walk in, like where to start. What do I buy? This versus that. I don't even know what that meat is or that vegetable is. So have a plan and, you know, do whatever educational content, you know, tickles your fancy. Start with some kind of basic knowledge and literally write a grocery list. You know, I used to kind of laugh when I would see my parents writing a grocery list when I was younger, but it works. You know, you go in with a plan. Not only are you efficient from a time standpoint, but you're efficient financially because you know what to get. And 9 times out of 10, you don't stray unless there's an on sale jar of peanut butter that you have to pick up. But you know, you can cut out so many calories and junk food by having a plan.
Yeah.
And that is a big difference maker. I've even found for me, I walk around with little sticky notes to make sure I'm buying what I need, and that's it.
Okay, so how often should people actually grocery shop? If you're trying to watch what you eat as healthy as you possibly can, and you're buying, like, I don't know, do you buy frozen vegetables and produce, or what are you doing?
Great question. So I would say it's going to depend on your family size, who you're shopping for, but once a week. And the reason I don't recommend any more frequent is because the more often you go, the more likely you are to pick up something you don't need. So have the plan for once a week. And with that plan, map out, okay, I'm buying food for, you know, 5 dinners, 5 lunches during the week, and I'm going to allow myself to eat out once on the weekends. You know, have that plan. Then when you're actually in the store, I mean, just like you mentioned, fresh, frozen, canned. All people have this misconception that, you know, fresh is the best. Well, frozen and canned vegetables and fruit too, you know, they're canned and frozen right from harvested. So they're actually in really darn good quality and good condition. So easy misconception. And to fix that, buy canned, buy frozen. They're often much cheaper than the fresh ones. That's an easy way to save a couple dollars.
Heck yeah. And you're prepared for like the end of the world and the zombie days.
Zombies,
and you'll be good. You'll be solid.
Yes. And then just building off, buy in bulk. Many people are like, they buy the individual portions. Buy in bulk. If you know you like something, you're going to eat it. You don't have to eat all of it that week. But if it's frozen or canned, it lasts a long time. You're going to pay a much lower price per unit of whatever you're buying if you buy more of them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Costco, the Sam's Club, those kinds of memberships are pretty awesome. And anymore, there's even – so Paul and I are both in Boise, so we have access to different kinds of resources here. But there's a place, Paul, that's kind of outside of Boise, I think closer to Nampa, that's like a produce place. And so they supply all the local restaurants with their fresh produce. And apparently you can get some really good deals there, and I haven't even heard of that before.
Is that the co-op?
No, it's not the co-op.
No, not the co-op.
I want to say it's like Grassmick Produce or something like that. Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great point, because something I encourage people to is don't be afraid to shop at 2 stores. Like you mentioned, the wholesalers. Buy in bulk like a Costco or Sam's Club is golden, especially if you're shopping for the family. But then, yeah, hit up the farmer's market every now and then. You know, supplement that with your weekly Walmart or local grocer trip for your fresh produce. Mm-hmm. Save a couple bucks per serving. It's wonderful.
Heck yeah. So this is a really tough question. And if you don't know the answer, I understand. But if you're looking at, say, an average person, maybe they're a single guy or single girl with a goal of not necessarily gaining weight or losing a ton, but just maintaining. And I know this is getting really tricky, but what can somebody expect from a grocery budget? Have you seen like an average cost per month for groceries?
Yeah. Where you live will obviously dictate this price, but if you stay friendly to store brands, which again, for some reason has this negative connotation, store brands just as good and 10 times cheaper. Mm-hmm. I mean, anywhere from, if you're shopping for one, $40 to $60 is easily doable. You buy in bulk, you buy canned, you buy frozen, you buy on sale and store brand, it's a recipe for success.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so now we've got our groceries. We all know how to, you know, shop around a little bit, do your research locally to see what options you have. Now what? Because this is where most people I see, and even myself, fail, is we got all of our groceries, we're ready to go, but we didn't take this next step of prepping. So, okay, how do we start prepping our meals and all of this stuff? Like, what do we actually do?
You're not going to like the beginning answer. It's back to that plan again. You know, something I literally will walk through with some of my clients is, okay, you know you're going to eat, five times a day for simplicity, Monday through Friday. You know, you're going to buy food for 25 meals. So in your mind, you have to have some semblance of what you're having for lunch, dinner, and meal number 3 in the middle there. So what I recommend with that plan that helps you to shop and prepare efficiently is to choose 2 to 3 proteins, 1 to 2 carbohydrates, ample fresh fruit and vegetable, or frozen or canned, because that allows you to know, I bought chicken, steak, and turkey this week. I bought rice and sweet potatoes. Now I'm just going to prepare it in bulk, and I can mix and match seamlessly as my taste buds prefer during the week. Gotcha. So when you get home from the store, cook in bulk. So whether that means you break out the slow cooker or you have the oven going for a couple hours when you're interchanging different foods or cooking both at time, I encourage a rice cooker too. Save so much time.
How long does that typically take for like the average person? Like for you, let's say, how long does meal prep take for you?
Right under an hour if I want to do. When I was working full time at bodybuilding.com, it would take me about 55 minutes to pack 15 meals for the week.
Holy crap, that's really good.
Well, the biggest mistake I find people make is they put the chicken in, then they dilly-daddle in social media for 20 minutes, then they start the rice cooker. You know, if you just do it, if you can be as efficient as possible, it can take less than an hour. You start the rice cooker, you start your protein, you chop up your vegetables, then you're just chilling and waiting for everything to cool. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, okay, how do – this is – I've got to ask. This is a personal question. When you do your chicken, you do like bulk chicken. How do you do yours? What do you – how do you cook your chicken?
Okay. So roast it at 350 in the oven.
Okay.
And I just – and I have like a hodgepodge of seasonings, but everything always has extra salt because I love salt. And then I literally – I'll put one big baking dish and I'll season half the chicken breasts one way, half the other way, just to mix it up. 350 for about 24, 26 minutes. Done.
Sweet. Okay. I do the exact same thing. So if you guys are listening, you're like, how do I cook chicken? Because I know for some reason, that's a big question for people.
It's a tough one to cook.
It really, I mean, it can be, but once you figure it out, you're golden. Like you don't even have to worry about it anymore. But yeah, that's funny. So that's one of the things I'll do too, is I'll buy a big, huge bag of chicken tenderloins from Costco. Mm-hmm. So get my Costco chicken and it's all frozen, drop it in there. And same thing, Mrs. Dash, a little bit of garlic salt, of course. So bake it and you're good. So while that's baking, you can start prepping your other meals and you're spot on. It's an hour and a half max. And that's if you want a little bit of variety. If you don't care about variety, you can crank this out in like 45 minutes to an hour easily.
And that's
the
thing.
Entire week.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And a note on that, people dislike, you know, the bland or the monotonous meal prep. However, there's so much cool research to show that that crushes cravings and hunger during a diet that it's like – it's something I actually recommend to my clients. Like those last 4 to 6 weeks of a diet when hunger seems to, you know, always say hello to you, start eating the same thing over and over again. I know it's boring. It's not forever. But the interaction with dopamine levels in your brain, which is responsible for that reward center, is significantly reduced and you don't have nearly as many cravings. Really cool.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that's good to know. So if you're struggling with cravings, eat the exact same thing, and it makes sense because then by the time you're done eating it, you don't want to eat anymore. You're like, I'm over this chicken.
You got it.
That's hilarious. Okay. So do you have any other tips about saving money on grocery shopping or getting healthy and watching what you eat on a budget?
Yeah, so I'm just going to recap to make sure I do cover everything. But we've got, you know, have a plan. And the more specific you can be, the better. So, you know, it comes with what's my budget? Okay, I need 3 proteins this week and 2 carbohydrates. It allows you to run efficiently through the grocery store. Shop the store brands. I can't stress that one enough. I mean, you save a dollar or so per serving of something. And, you know, if you're buying majority store brand, there's double-digit dollar savings right there. And I think that's outstanding. Buying in bulk, we touched on very well. I'm trying to think. Don't be afraid to try new things. There's another one. You see on-sale items you might not have ever had before. Funny thing is, your taste buds are always changing. So yeah, you might not have liked, you know, broccoli 6 months ago, 12 months ago. Give it a try again. They're literally continuously changing, so you might find you like it. If that happens to be an in-season item, you're saving a couple bucks again.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. Do you use any apps or anything like that to help you with saving on groceries?
You know, I have not explored them recently because I am very much a creature of habit. and I dabble in some. I'm very fortunate. I get some free meal delivery on occasion.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I do not dabble in too much shopping.
Yeah, well, if you're a Walmart shopper, there's one called Walmart Savings Catcher app, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I have heard of that.
That one, I think it's like you take a picture of your receipt, you scan it, and it will scour the internet and see if you, like, if vegetables went on sale and they were $2 when you bought them, but now they're a dollar, it'll give you that dollar back. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. I don't play around with that too much, but, you know, it's out there.
That's good to know.
Awesome. Okay. So this has been very, very educational for myself as well. I just learned that my taste buds change consistently. Didn't know that.
Eat your broccoli.
Makes sense. So that's good to know. And I hope that people go to your website, check out your stuff, get a little knowledge, and then come back to this episode as well and listen again, because I think some of the carbs, the proteins, those keywords that we're throwing out here will make a lot more sense once they go through your trainings. And I think that that will help them quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, it can be such a complex world of nutrition, but I really think the courses do an excellent job of making it really simple, short, and sweet.
No, I totally agree with that too. I've been through some of your content, not your paid courses yet. I need to. I don't know what my problem is.
Yeah, you don't even need to pay. I got to get on that.
I'm going to take you up on that. I got it on camera. I'm teasing. Okay, Paul. So where can people go to learn a little bit more about you specifically? If they want to connect with you, shoot you an email, meet you on social media, is there a platform that you prefer?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm much more active on my Facebook, but I have an active Instagram as well. And the Facebook is The Nutrition Tactician. The Instagram is the exact same thing, except instead of spaces between the letters, there are underscores. But probably the best place to, what I would recommend starting, is nutritiontactician.com. And then literally click the Start Here tab, and you'll just get access to a bunch of free content, a bunch of free videos, articles, and ebooks, and how to further connect with me on social media.
Awesome. Paul, thank you so much for spending some time with me tonight. It was fun chatting with you and hearing a little bit more about your nutrition side instead of all the business side.
Yeah, no, thanks for listening. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. All right, my fellow money nerds, what did you guys think? I love this episode. I thought it was so interesting to hear a different perspective than the normal, I paid off a crap ton of debt. So that's all great. And I love hearing those kinds of things too. And I know you guys do as well. But it's nice to hear some of that tactical, practical information to see how do we actually plan our day-to-day expenses, the stuff that really does matter and leads us to paying off a lot of debt. So I thought this was a really cool extra little special interview. So I'm really grateful for Paul for joining the podcast and sharing his story with us. The thing that Paul mentioned that really stuck out to me most was when he talked about this whole concept of you have to plan. Like it's so important, right? If you don't have a plan for any area of your life, whether it's fitness, whether it's health, whether it's paying off debt, whether it's just being better with family time, like whatever the heck it is, you have to have a good plan. And it doesn't have to be a detailed plan, but you have to just think through, what are you aiming towards? How are you going to get there? What are you going to do to make sure you're successful in your plan? And what do you do if something comes up that derails you from your plan? Because we all know that happens time to time. If you have loved this episode as much as I did, I would really be so grateful if you shared it with your friends and family or anyone you think could get some value from this. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you get all of the latest episodes directly onto your favorite podcast player. I also really do appreciate your reviews, and they are so much fun. I love reading those and just seeing like what are the cool things that you're liking, and super awesome, very, very inspirational. So I really do appreciate you guys sharing those as well. Well, that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast.